Now, what are we talking here in the introduction slide which you see on your screen? Evaluation. Evaluation is bound to happen because human minds evaluate. Evaluation means what? Assessing. Trying to determine whether it's as per what we want. Don't we evaluate everything? You go to the shop to buy something, we evaluate. Is this worth it? I'm paying 200 rupees for this. Should I take it? You go to Amazon to buy something, you evaluate. Don't you do that? Now, what are you evaluating? You're seeing whether it is serving my purpose. The purpose of evaluation is to see that it is serving my purpose. Underline. Evaluation is not for the heck of it, just for the sake of evaluation and then leave things open. No. Evaluation should be closed loop. So what is the slide saying? Evaluation function includes the assessment of the HRM policies of the company to determine whether they are effective. This is a periodic process. If I evaluate that the HRM process of this year is effective, good enough. Next year, when my plans are different, my targets are different, my goals are different, then I need to re-evaluate the HRM policies. I may have to tweak it, change it. This is very important. Okay? Now the activities we are explaining one by one. I've already spoken about it, but here I'll be going through the slides wording. Acquisition. What does it comprise? It comprises human resources planning, HRM or HRP, which includes analyzing employment need. Now we are getting into the nitty-gritty part of it. Analyzing the employment needs. The company has got certain vacancies to be filled up. The company has gone through a change, or the company is about to go through a change. There are new employee needs. Analyzing what are the needs. Determining appropriate skills for these vacancies. What sort of skills are required? Identifying job. What sort of jobs, what sort of a job structure is required in the job profile? And also identifying the industry trends. If you belong to the IT industry, you must know what is the trend in your industry. What's happening in the industry right now, or what is going to happen in the future? Trends. Whether there are going to be more employment coming up next year, or whether the IT industry is going through a saturation process. All of you know there are business cycles. When there are business cycles, there will be certain years when the industry may not hire more people. In certain years, they'll hire more people. So this is the industry trends which you're supposed to know. And also forecasting future human resources requirement. The most tricky and a very skillful process which we are supposed to know, forecasting. And forecasting is pretty tricky. For forecasting, you must be an experienced person knowing the trend about what's going on. You must be aware about the business cycles that happened in the past, the present changes that are going on, the future projections. Forecasting may not be always accurate, but forecasting will give you some idea that this is where I need to move around. If I know more or less that I have to go here, I'll go in the direction. At least I know that I'm in this region, in this ballpark area. I may have to just move left or right. If I don't do forecasting, what happens? I'm haywire. I'm shooting in the dark. That is something which can be avoided. Forecasting is a very important skill. Sometimes company people, you know, CEOs of companies for companies whom I do training, or even very senior people, they ask me, Venkat, why do you need a forecasting? Forecasting doesn't make any difference. We'll just do it like that. I said, good enough. But when you do it like that, in today's scenario, my dear friends, particularly in today's scenario, I repeat, the changes are happening so very difficult that you can't even imagine. At the time of recording this thing, my dear friends, we are at 6 months down the COVID. Did anybody forecast human resources about the COVID event? Nobody, right? I'm giving you the scariest picture. So similarly, we do not know the future events that are about to unfold. The least we can do is imagine, forecast, and take the thing ahead, right? So I'll repeat the first bullet point. Acquisition consists of human resources planning, which includes analyzing employment needs, determining appropriate skills, identifying job and industry trends, and forecasting future human resources requirements. How do we go about doing it? Bullet point 2 talks about it. Inputs. We need some inputs now for this. For acquisition includes what? Questionnaires. You provide questionnaires to people who are knowledgeable, ask them what do you think are the things that you need, and they'll give you answers. Interviews with knowledgeable people. Statistical analysis, you know, you collect huge amount of data, qualitative as well as quantitative. And these are put into a statistical framework. Softwares are available for that. Building skills inventory. What is a skills inventory? Inventory means what? I've got certain things stored with me. Just visualize a shelf in which there are some things kept. Some shoes are kept, some jogging material is kept. A lot of inventory is there in the thing for a person who's going for a gym. Now he must know whether I have all the inventory required, whether I need more inventory, right? Similarly, skills. What's the skills inventory? I have X number of skills today with me. My B1, behavior B1 tells me these are the skills I have with me. Now I need to know what are the new skills I need to have. That is the input. I can write a beautiful report, but do I have the skills of going and meeting a customer or a client in the new role I'm going to take? So this building skills inventory is another important part of the inputs. How will I know how to acquire a new employee unless and until I know what sort of skills I'm expecting from him for the future? And last but not the least, designing career path charts. This is a very important thing. Very good, well-run companies, professional companies ensure that your career path is also designed. That's amazing. What do you mean by career path? You don't work in a company like an employee, taking your salary, going away, doing a good job, etc. No. You work there because they want you to develop your career, your career. What do you mean by career? You have taken up a profession. Let's say you're an IT engineer. You started off as a software person. You are doing coding, programming. Then you slowly become a team leader. Then you become a project manager and a project director. You go up and up, right? Now the company, a good company will plan your career. They'll say, okay, after 1 year or 2 years, we expect you to be here. And when you take all these inputs, this career path you'll be able to follow. So these are very important points to be noted. These are all the inputs required before the acquisition of the manpower takes place. I'll repeat the second bullet point. Inputs for acquisition includes questionnaires, interviews, statistical analysis, building skills inventory, and designing career path charts. Right? Taking it further, continuing with this slide on acquisition. 4 specific goals of human resources planning. You have already learned HRP in HRM in semester 1. Okay, so what are the 4 goals, specific goals? 1, sustaining stable, underline the word stable, sustaining stable workforce levels despite ups and downs in business trends. Beautiful expression. One cannot predict whether X number of people whom I'm hiring will retain as X in terms of numbers. One cannot predict today. But the company needs to set up a certain type of a minimum number of people who are required to do the job, or an optimum. Let me not use the word minimum, optimum number of people. Let's say for a certain job function or a certain project, I need about 20 people. 20 forms stable workforce. But when I'm doing a hiring, I won't look only for 20 people. I look for more than 20. All of you know it. So I may go for, say, I may say I want 30 people. So in the 30 people, I may take some people. I may interview all the 30. But after interviewing all the 30, suddenly what has happened is the business trend has changed. It happens in many campus interviews, and students start feeling that we have been let down by the company. I'll give the truth. What really happens is the company's business cycle has changed because of the market. They take an interview somewhere in the month of, let us say, January or February, before the semester ends in April, final year. And then what happens is they issue a letter to you also. But after issuing the letter, what happens is after 6 months down the line, when you're supposed to join them, or 3 months down the line, the business trend has changed. They say, sorry, we can't take you. It sounds cruel. It sounds cruel. It is cruel for the person who's hired. But the business trend is the main reason why some companies don't do it. I'm not saying all companies do it. I'm talking about some very good companies who actually do this. They are not able to take the person. But they will ensure that a stable workforce is taken. Let us say they want stable workforce of 20. they may go and take interviews for 30 to 40 people. It's possible the 30, 40 people are also given appointment letters, they may join also. Some of them will be asked to do certain other type of job, but the stable 20 will remain. The stable workforce is very important to sustain. It's the first part of HRP which companies have to ensure. Let me also add one more thing which I talked about in my HRM video. HRM book written by me, which you are following. In that video, I've spoken about it. What is it? It's not about numbers alone. It's not about 20 or 30. The people to whom you're hiring have to join your company. And human beings are having their own willpower to join or not join. Some of you listening to me must have done it. You take an appointment letter from a company A and you don't join. No show. So there's a, like I told you earlier in forecasting, there's a qualitative factor and also quantitative. What is qualitative? Qualitative is about your behavior. The person who's joining the company, prospective. We do not know, you know, he says many things when he's interviewed. He takes a letter and then he doesn't join. Or vice versa. I may find that a person is not good, I leave him and suddenly I realize he's a best candidate. There are human errors. Now this is again a skill. Taking it further, point number two, preventing attrition among younger recruits is the most crying need of all countries, not only India. What is attrition? Attrition is different from labor turnover. Labor turnover means people joining the company and leaving. That is a very normal process. Attrition is an alarming part of it. Attrition means what? People are joining and leaving at a very fast rate. 100 are joining in the first month, in the first of the month, and by end of the month, out of 100, 60 have already left. I'm hiring more people. I'm hiring another, say, 60, and out of the remaining, again, the 100, I'm finding that more people are leaving. So when the company is having attrition, that too among younger recruits, I don't totally agree that the younger recruits do this, even the older one do it. Okay. Now, when the people are joining and leaving frequently, lots of them are leaving in numbers, it destabilizes the company. The company's plans go haywire. So they must ensure that they have policies, they have certain processes, certain plans, certain procedures in action so that this attrition is prevented. Ensure that the younger recruits are motivated to work. You must understand the mindset of younger recruits. Why they want to, what are they looking for in a company? You cannot cater to everything, but by and large, the committed youngsters, if you are able to map what they require, then you can prevent attrition. You got to create the policies accordingly. Assuming that you would like to keep the younger recruits on a career path. There are companies which say that we want the younger recruits just to do some work, and it's okay if they leave. There are companies who have that attitude. Sorry to say this. But if you're a committed company, you want a younger recruit to be in the company, make a career path, then you have to prevent attrition by having a proper policy. Point number three, reducing challenges when key decision makers are absent due to unexpected reasons. In an organization, there are some HODs, there are some very key people in the working in a department. And they are the ones who are to whom others look up to. They are the people who take key decisions. It's quite possible due to some illness or some emergency, the key people are not there for some time. Does the work stop? Or does it get done in a very slipshod manner in the absence of a leader, a person who can't take a decision? Certainly not. So we must ensure that while we are doing this human resources planning, we must have some sort of a contingency plan to ensure that if X, who's a decision, key decision maker, is not present, is there a second line of action? Who can take over? In some organizations I've seen, there's an HOD and he becomes the one and the only person who can take decisions. He's an autocratic leader and he ensures that everything will go only with me. And when this thing happens, when he's absent or something goes wrong, everything comes to a standstill because people are scared to take decisions. Now, one of the ways of reducing the challenge when a key decision maker is absent is to ensure that you empower people and allow them to also take decisions, even if they make mistakes. By doing that, you're making them into future leaders and managers. That's again a policy of the company. Point number four, facilitate the finance department to efficiently plan departmental budgets. What is finance to do with this? Lots. Every department has got a budget. The budget that runs the department. Sales has got its sales budgets. It requires some money to run the department, so it goes and asks the top management. Finance also needs budgets to run its department. Similarly, HR also has a budget to run the department. The finance department has to efficiently plan the departmental budgets. Why? What do you mean by efficient? People are working. Some companies have got this habit of taking things for granted, assumption that certain departments are well taken care of in terms of their budgets because they are seen as profit centers and other departments are not seen as profit centers. Certain companies do this. So they give them a secondary treatment. Now there may be a service department in a company and service is all done outside to the customers, they may not be rewarding them that much. So they may not be having a budget, they may not allocate a budget. Now the point number four is emphasizing on the fact that the finance department or the accounts department, whatever you want to call it, should efficiently plan the departmental budgets in such a way that there is the right allocation is given to every department. If the allocation is not given, what happens? The department finds itself difficult to keep its employees motivated. Imagine a department operations where the employees are working. They are not being given a proper departmental budget. The operation department is having some employees working with them. Those people, if they are not properly paid because of the budget allocation not being there, what will happen to the operations function? It'll go kaput. So that's where this is a very crucial thing. Unfortunately, many companies don't do this. So what are the points in this slide? Point number one, point number two, three and four, sustaining, preventing, reducing, and facilitating. Okay. It's further continuing acquisition in this slide. The first bullet point of the slide is ideally, acquisition needs to hire the most qualified candidates, ideally most qualified, without breaching on the employment laws or allowing decision makers to be influenced by unrelated stereotypes. What does it mean? Now, most qualified is not PhD or MBA or something. Qualified means there is a paper qualification called a degree and a post-graduation and a doctorate or whatever. That's one side of the story. Qualified in terms of skills, competencies, efficiency. That part of it is very, very important. So I must hire the most ideal candidate. There is an ideal candidate called X who's working in this department. He's too ideal. He's the man who's working there. When he quits the company, people look for him. They look for a clone of that person X. Assuming that he's the most qualified candidate, I want him. I want the same X. You cannot get the same X again. So you need to understand that in acquisition, you need to hire the most qualified candidate without breaching on employment laws or allowing decision makers to be influenced by unrelated stereotypes. No compromises. At the same time, I cannot get the same Mr. X again. Now, this is again a skill. What am I trying to tell you indirectly? Don't get into that type of a close thing that this is the person who will only do this job. There can't be anybody else. So one of the acquisition skills one needs to learn is to ensure that if X is very good in what he's doing, X is a brand in what he's doing, it doesn't mean that only X can do, X can't be replaced by Y. So can I look for Y also who's equally good or even better? This is called the halo effect. You know, when somebody is doing a great job, we only think that only he can do it. When he's leaving the company by unrelated stereotypes, by some means or the other, we try to keep him back. That is a very dangerous thing to do because that person is not motivated anymore. He may not do the job as good as he was doing earlier. While we take care of employees properly in terms of motivation, everything, when the person is switched off emotionally from the company, he wants to quit the company. Now I must get the same most qualified candidate for the same position, but it should be done in a proper way. Next point, acquisition also involves conducting tests on determining one's personality, temperament, integrity. Last point is very important for me. Is this person a man of integrity? Is he or she a person of integrity? What does it mean? Walking your talk. I say something and I do it. I say I won't do it and I don't do it. That's also integrity. I am in line with what I say and what I do and what I think. That's integrity. Every job, every function requires a person's total makeup, his qualifications, His competencies and skills are on one side. The other side is a human side, his personality. Does he have a charisma with people? Is he a person who's suited to do an R&D type of a job? So that personality for the job has to be also understood. And the temperament. Is he a person who's got the patience to take up an R&D job? Does he have the temperament to deal with an angry customer? Now these are again important things. So we conduct personality test, temperament test, etc., etc. as a part of acquisition, right? Now we come to the next point, development. The second major HRM function is human resources development, which involves performance appraisals and training activities. Two parts, performance appraisal on one side, training activities on the other side. The basic purpose of appraisal is to provide feedback to employees concerning their performance, as a result of which necessary corrections can be made by the employee. I'll repeat. The basic purpose of appraisal is to provide feedback to employees concerning their performance, as a result of which necessary corrections can be made by the employee. Underline the word feedback, highlighted, double underline it. The reason I'm telling you is what I say in the HRM session also. The purpose of appraisal is not increment or denial of anything. The purpose of appraisal is giving you feedback. You said that you're going to perform this last year. Give me a feedback whether you performed or not performed. And what are the reasons why you couldn't perform? That's all. It's about the performance, not the employee. And then what are we doing here? The basic purpose of appraisal is to provide feedback to the employees concerning their performance, as a result of which, suppose the employee has promised 100 units of production in the whole month. At the end of the month, you're appraising him. He says, I've been able to do only 80. Then you ask him, why 80? These are the reasons. So what am I doing? I'm trying to make a necessary correction. I want to tweak minus 20. I want to make it into plus 20 so that he comes back to this 100, promised 100. There could be various reasons. Maybe his attitude, his behavior. Maybe he did not get the budget. There may be many reasons. That is an important part of the appraisal, which I need to take into account. In many appraisals, what they do is they appraise a person, they give a feedback, and they tell him, look, you're good, you're bad, or you get promoted, or you get increment. That's not the only thing. What are the things you need from us? Do you need some corrections? You think you want to go for a training and development? Yeah, why not? Now, make the employee whom you're appraising very comfortable so that he or she is in a position to actually come open and say that, look, sir, this is what I want to do. This is what I think I stopped my things. It should be a non-threatening engagement, non-threatening. When you talk to the employee on an appraisal, ensure that you're not trying to hold your power and trying to bully that person. A good company will ensure that this doesn't happen. Third bullet point, HRM professionals devise uniform appraisal standards. HRM professionals devise uniform, underline the word uniform. Appraisal standards, develop review techniques, train managers to conduct appraisals and then evaluate its effectiveness. What is meant by uniform? One glove doesn't fit all. You have to have an appraisal standard which is uniform. If you do this, at whatever level you are, you will be getting this reward or this promotion. These uniform appraisal standards will confirm the fact that the company is a company of values and integrity. Develop review techniques. Train managers to conduct appraisals and then evaluate the effectiveness. Okay, taking it further, next slide, development is continuing. The appraisal process is tied into compensation and incentive strategies to ensure employment laws are observed. Now, please note that appraisal doesn't decide whether you're getting a promotion or something, but with the appraisal, there's a reward given to you. That's where the compensation and the incentive strategies come into picture. I'll repeat. The appraisal by itself does not give you the compensation increase or the incentive. The purpose of that is to motivate you. A. The reverse part of it, which I would like to talk, which is not being followed in many companies. The appraisal takes place, there's a shortfall of performance, and instead of increasing your compensation, some companies will try to demote you. That's not okay. They may not give you a promotion. They may demotivate you by doing this. It's seen as a punishment, unfortunately. And that's the last thing you must do to a human resource. Instead, ask him what is the reason why that shortfall is taking place and try to empower him. Promise him that when he comes to that particular performance, we will definitely give you the compensation which is due to you. This language that happens between appraisal and compensation is something that needs to be restructured. Next bullet point. Training and development includes determining, designing, executing, and analyzing of educational programs. Now, when you say educational programs, it's not about a degree or a diploma or a school or a college. Education is all about learning to develop more knowledge, practice, which leads to wisdom and skills. That's the education program. Third bullet point, orientation programs. Programmers are administered to the new hires of the company. What are these things? You join a company, you go through twin processes called induction and orientation. In HRM, we have learned it. Inducing means taking you to the company and making you familiar with the company's atmosphere. Who is who? What are the practices in the company? What are the do's and don'ts? That's a induction. So you come to know the family. You become, this is called as a socialization process. You become comfortable. It's like a stranger walking into some place, you know, he's feeling uncomfortable. So make him comfortable. Look, this is your home. This is your office. Don't worry. We are all there. That type of a thing. Induction. In orientation, the person is put through the process of what he is supposed to be doing. On the job, it can be some jobs given to him. About, you know, testing his skills, making him enhance his skills. That is orientation. That's a part of when people are hired, new hires are coming in, they need to go through an orientation. Some companies don't do it. They expect that, you know, on the job, that fellow will learn. Put him in a 10 feet water, he will swim. It doesn't always happen. Orientation gives a person a certain confidence that the company cares. It's important to have a proper orientation program. Next point, HRM needs to design and develop program. Be aware of the fundamentals of learning and motivation. A training and development program, a module that is administered, needs to have, my dear friends, a theoretical basis behind it. This I am telling you as an experienced organization development trainer, as an experienced developmental behavioral coach, leadership coach. I cannot administer anything to you as a training unless it has a solid background. The fundamentals of learning and motivation, which is basically theoretical and also observable facts which are verified. Theoretical, at the same time, observable facts which are verified. Remember one thing, we are talking about human behavior. Human behavior is scientific, but its science is very, very complex. It needs certain skillful understanding to understand the fundamentals of learning and motivation. In motivation, there are motivation theories. You must know which theory to apply when you develop a developmental program. You must know which learning theory you have to put into action for developing a program. This is what is meant by this particular point. Okay?